Welcome to tonight's call for the Harvest Moon 2008. So this is going to be an introduction to the Harvest Moon. It's going to be an introduction to a little bit beginning about the fall. We're going to do the three moons of fall, you know, another week or two, but we'll talk a little bit about the end of the summer and the beginning of the fall. We'll talk a little bit about the shamanic gathering that's going to happen on September 21st, a one-day gathering at Stonehouse Bookstore to talk about assembling reality. The theme that we've been working with over the course of the summer has been learning to grow as flowers grow. And in the first shamanic gathering, we focused on Reiki 1 and Qigong and unlocking these energies and learning how to channel energy in the present using life force energy to heal and protect yourself in the present. Then in the next shamanic gathering, which was the Strong Sun Moon, or Ripe Berries, the Strong Sun was the first one, Ripe Berries was the last one a couple of weeks ago, and that one was about Reiki 2, transparency Qigong, and learning how to heal or transform, sending this healing energy, although we talked about the fact that we call it healing energy, but it's not necessarily about being sick. You're healing the events of your past and your present and your future, but it's not necessarily about only focusing on things that are broken or sick or bad. There are many different other moments and patches in your life that you might want to send positive Reiki to or use Qigong to. And the goal is as we do more and more of this, and that's what the Harvest Moon is going to be about, is learning to live your life fully in the past, present, and future. Learning to live your life fully in the good times and the bad times. Learning how to use energy medicine, energy healing, even when no one is sick. And ideally, the goal is to make it so that you and the people around you aren't very sick very often, that you don't have family emergencies to deal with, that you're not struggling with your job or your career. As you do this work, those kinds of problems can drop away and fall away and not really be part of your life. You're still doing the energy work. You're still moved on to the shamanic piece of assembling reality, of assembling a positive and powerful life in the past, present, and future. And whether the details of that life are positive or negative, boring or exciting, dramatic or traumatic, all those things become part of the shamanic theater that creates your life. And you gain control over what you want to do when and how you want to do it. And issues like how much drama you want in your life becomes a choice and not a requirement. So we're talking a little bit about that. So this is the Harvest Moon. And the Harvest Moon, the way I do it is it's not quite time to harvest, it's time to begin the process of harvest. So we're beginning the process of harvesting now. The actual full moon is on the 15th of September this year, which is a couple of weeks away from this recording. And that is the fullness, the completion of the summer. And then we take the time over September, October, November to really wrap up the summer, craft the harvest, and actually go out and complete the progress so that by the time Thanksgiving comes around, you've wrapped things up. You can focus on your family and your parties for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then for the last week of December, first couple of weeks of January, you can have a pretty clear calendar and focus on the quiet. And so there's a couple of different calendars that come into play during the Christmas season. We have the party calendar, and we have the solstice calendar and the Christmas calendar, and all of those things kind of wind up. And on some years, you'll be synced up with one calendar more than another. But our goal is to try and wrap up most of your practical, everyday hard work by the beginning of December, completing the harvest before December arrives, before Thanksgiving, basically. Thanksgiving being the harvest feast, of course. So we want to wrap everything up so that you can have a nice harvest feast and then go into the party time of December and do whatever it is you need to do. And in some years, you'll be in sync with the star calendar, the solar calendar, and solstice. December 21st will be the quiet, still point for you. Other years, you'll be wrapped up in Western consensual reality party calendar, and you won't have a chance to think about things until, you know, maybe even after New Year's, and it's really the first or second week of January that you get a chance to slow down. But the goal is somewhere between solstice, December 21st, and say the first full moon of January, you want to have that still point. You want to experience that stopping moment. And the only way we can create space for that to happen is if we begin now. Is one of the reasons for shamanic wealth and healing, one of the reasons for lunar reflection, is to help us in our very busy, rushy North American lives to start thinking on a seasonal timescale, to start thinking on the cycle of the moon, not the cycle of daytime television. You know, in my day job, all of my calls start and end exactly on the hour, and I'm scheduled, you know, days, weeks in advance, out to the minute. And a lot of us, when we're in high-powered, busy stretches of our work, get into cycles like that. Whether you're driving the kids around or showing up for board meetings, it's pretty common for us to have every minute of our day scheduled. It's pretty common for us to be focused on what's happening right now and in the next few days, and that's as far as we can see. One of the reasons for lunar reflections, one of the reasons for the way we write the easing, the way we do these calls, the reason we focus on the cycles of the moon, is to create some space, to create some awareness of nature, to create some awareness of the season and the full moon and the new moon, to create some awareness of appropriate action. The summer is the time to be very high energy and get a lot done. Solstice, January, is the time to be quiet and meditative. We can't always engineer it exactly that way, but if we stop fighting or ignoring the normal calendar, the real calendar of the Earth, all of those cycles that are going on around us, if we simply go with the cycles of the moon being gregarious during the full moon, and being quiet during the new moon, being gregarious in the summer and quiet during the winter, allowing ourselves to follow the cycles of the earth, we'll find that many things become simple. Many things run a lot more smoothly than they used to. And that's the first step, is to simply stop fighting reality. Stop fighting what's going on around us. It's another reason why when I talk about things like energy medicine, I'm emphasizing the fact that even though we call it energy medicine, hands-on healing, Reiki and Qigong, shamanic healing, it's really not about waiting till somebody gets sick before you start doing your work. My whole training and teaching and the reason for these gatherings, and again, the reason that I've changed the name from workshops to gatherings, is it's not about work. It's about getting together and sharing our experiences and crafting a version of reality that is more supportive for all of us. Some of us have illnesses. Some of us have challenges. We all need more joy in our lives. We all need a moment. enjoy the flowers, to enjoy a ceremony like despacho, to enjoy a full moon. When was the last time you went outside and looked at the full moon? A couple of moons ago, the moon came in my window at around 4 in the morning. I just had to get up. And I got up and got dressed and went and watched the moon set and the sun rise. It's beautiful. And probably even me, when I'm trying to pay attention to these things, it's probably been a year or more since I've really had the time to do that, taken the time to do that. When I was early in my shaman training, I went camping at least once a month, often maybe as much as twice a month, to go do ceremony and fire up in the mountains. I haven't had the opportunity to do that in the last couple of years, because my day job has gotten sufficiently busy that I need to be really focused on that. Taking a day or two off has been quite a challenge. But I still pay attention to the cycles of the moon. Because I write this newsletter, I know when the full moon is. I know when the new moon is. We just completed the new moon, and we're moving into the full moon. So one of the reasons I created this whole process is so that I could be aware, so that I could enhance my understanding and awareness. And then in the spring, I was reading about weather shamanism, and back when I used to fly hang gliders and sail planes, I used to pay a lot of attention to the weather, always watching the wind and the birds, watching the weather channel for hours and hours, wondering when the wind was going to be right for me to go out and fly. Once again, I haven't been flying in several years, so I got out of that habit, but reconnecting with the weather was a great joy over the spring and the summer. We recently had a big thunderstorm here in the Pacific Northwest. We don't really get that many thunder and lightning storms. Back in Texas, you got them all the time. And in early spring, like February, March, you would get these really phenomenal thunderstorms. Just shake the building, wake the cows, you know, the lightning would light up the house, and thunder would shake and rattle the windows. We don't get that kind of weather around here, but every once in a while we get a good thunderstorm coming through. And it was interesting because there wasn't a lot of rain in it, but there was a good deal of thunder and lightning. And once again, I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning with the flashes going through the window going, huh, somebody taking pictures out in the driveway? And then I realized it kept going on for a little too long for it to be that, and then I could start hearing the thunder roll in as the thundercloud cell got closer and closer, and the lightning got more frequent, and the thunder got louder. So I decided to practice my weather shamanism and went and walked among the clouds. And that's the beauty of this work. Whether you study carefully, like the weather shamanism the way I have for years and years, or whether you just allow yourself to become aware of it. If all you simply do is the next time you see a full moon, think for a minute what that means. Imagine you're in the mountains watching that full moon. The next time there's a rain, ask yourself, is this a hard masculine rain or is this a soft feminine rain? When you hear that thunder, is it because the sky is angry or is it because the sky is excited? Tap into the energies of the earth and imagine that you can hear the trees laughing and the flowers giggling. Many things are possible. Many things are going on all around us. And all of this work, this the whole shamanic wealth piece, is about simply unlocking the beauty of nature, unlocking the beauty of awareness, giving you these tools that have become available. My shaman teacher's been doing this for something like 25 years now, and she was saying that when she got started, very few people could experience this work. They would do something like a power animal journey in a room full of 20 people, and one or two of them would have an experience. These days when I do journeys, everybody has an experience. When I'm teaching Reiki and Qigong and shamanism in one of the gatherings, everybody gets it. This stuff is available. 20 years ago, nobody knew what Qigong was. Nobody knew what Reiki was. You were lucky to find one teacher. Now you can come to one place and you can learn three different modalities. Not to mention the breath work and the meditation and other kinds of things we talk about and teach too. This stuff is incredibly available. It's now very much a work-a-day practice. Shamanic energy medicine is very available. You can go get the Reiki attunements. You can practice Qigong. You can take up three stones and explore the power of talking to rocks and talking to trees and sitting on mountaintops. The part of the story and the myth that comes out of Peru is that the Pachacuti is among us. And most people date the Pachacuti, the time when the world is turned upside down again, as 2012. And there are lots of myths these days saying 2012 is a magical time. And exactly whether, you know, which myth of 2012 you want to believe, the end of the Mayan calendar, the age of Aquarius, or the Hopi vision, lots of different sorts of calendars talk about this being a powerful time, the Tibetan myth. Lots of shamanic myths around the world point to round about 2012 as being a critical time of transition. And as I said, the people I've met who've been doing this for 10, 20 years will tell you, and even I've been doing this for 6 or 7 years, and it seems to me that I can tell the difference. Don't know how much of it that I'm better trained than I was 6 years ago, or that it really is a lot more available to us all. One way or the other, it is a lot more available to us all. So now, if we're in this situation where anyone can unlock shamanic perception, shamanic healing, shamanic assembling reality. The gathering in September will be about this idea of assembling reality. Most people respond to things in their lives. A shaman creates reality. A shaman tracks the future and the past and assembles reality in the moment. And so we can explore that. Those kinds of things that were only available to a very few people in the past are now available to all of us, at least in simple ways. And again, all of my training is about making this stuff simple and available and safe. And we will see. We'll see what we will see. So we're talking about learning to grow as the flowers grow, and now it's becoming time to begin the harvest, to end the growth period, to ripen the fruits and vegetables, and prepare for a harvest. So the journeys we've done lately had to do with imagining this cornfield and allowing the corn rows to straighten themselves out. We'll probably go back and do a similar piece like that, but this will also be about allowing the corn itself to ripen. Not only will the fields become straight and clean, the weeds will hoe themselves, the crops will align up so that the harvest will become easy, but the fruit will begin to ripen, and you will know what is ready for harvest. And you'll know what needs more time. And you'll know what will just not ripen this year after all, one way or the other. So harvest is a time, again, of discernment, noticing and recognizing what's working and what's not working. In the Lunar Reflections text that I'm going to post a little later, we're talking about capitalizing progress and recognizing success steps. We may end up talking about this over the course of the fall. It's this language that I use in my entrepreneurial business coaching, and it's how you distinguish between doing a lot and getting stuff done. It's very common for us to run around in circles and get a whole lot of stuff done, but it may not add up to progress. The harvest time is about really getting good and clear on what is it that you've been doing that adds up to progress. If you've been listening to these calls all year long, we started off with connecting to your passions but remaining still. Then we went to planting the seeds of your becoming. Then we spent all summer energizing your crops and doing a lot of energy work and doing a lot of running around and creating high energy states so that your crops could grow. And we're still in that high energy period. The high energy of summer doesn't begin to really taper off until after equinox, which is September 21st or thereabouts. So we've got a few more weeks of high energy before the solar energy begins to really wane, before the nights are literally longer than the days. And so those of you who are hikers around here also know that the city folk think the summer's over and gone back to work, but the real mountaineers and hikers of you out there know that you can get what to a Seattleite or a Nor'wester amount to summer hikes all the way out into the first couple of weeks of October. It doesn't start getting actually cold, and you don't have to start carrying a lot of fleece for another 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 weeks. You're going to get rained on, and it'll be chilly, but it won't be cold until mid-October. Certainly the summer won't be well and truly over. Some years it'll be early. This year it might be early. This year winter may become early. Spring ran late. We had a nice warm stretch, and then we had a cold snap and had snow and ice late in the year. And then spring ran late for longer than that, and we had a very short summer so far. It's already gotten a little cold and chilly occasionally. But that doesn't mean it's going to be true winter yet. There's summer energy about, even if it has cooled off quite a bit. And so we want to tap into that. We want to draw the summer out. Last call, I was talking about this high-speed glide, or this high-energy glide. We're at the top of the arc. So if you need to get some extra work done, through September, you can keep that energy high. You don't have to rein it in. Sometimes you'll want to rein it in and begin slowing down quickly already. Other times you'll want to keep it running for a couple more months. And that's why, again, the harvest doesn't really complete until November. So we've got 2 more months of pretty intense work. And it's about capitalizing our successes, harvesting our progress. What if we spent another month or two working on it, tying it up, completing it, finishing it, would be well and truly done? What are the projects you've been working on all year that with a little bit of focus can be brought to completion in the next month or two so that you can then carve out some free time or at least some space for yourself in December and January? So it's about adding energy to make sure that you hit the finish line at a sprint. There's Harv Eker's line is there's nothing like a warrior nearing the finish line. I think his full line is there's nothing as intense as a warrior as he nears the finish line. This is a line from Harv Eker's warrior training. So that very often, if you've got big projects afoot, September, October may be a time of very high intensity where you're finishing things up, where you're really having to give that last full measure of your energy to complete things, to make sure that they're done in time for a quiet winter. Other times you don't have to push quite so hard, but that may well be part of the process of fall. Very often it is. It's certainly an opportunity. So the way the energy runs, the fall is a good time. The energies are getting cooler. There's space. You've got that momentum coming out of the summer. So actually, September, October is a natural time to be able to dig deep and pull out that extra energy. So it's an opportunity. You may choose to just coast into the harvest, or you may choose to really make a sprint of it. But part of this is allowing that to become a deliberate choice and to recognize the opportunity. So that's a little bit of discussion of what the harvest moon is about, is really taking this time to assess your progress and determine what you're going to need to do in order to capitalize your progress. So capitalizing your progress has two stages. One stage is to notice what, if you gave it some attention and some energy, could be completed and wrapped up and brought to fruition for harvest in the next couple of months. So that's one aspect of capitalizing your progress. Harvest the fruit, put it in your basket, make the successes complete. The other aspect of capitalizing your progress is when you complete something like that, other people can see it too. Very often, we let the fruit die on the vine. We don't finish the job so completely that the success is obvious and done. The other thing we tend not to do is to do it in such a way that other people recognize that we've done good work. We're so into false modesty. We're so into not bragging. Most of us, or many of us, even braggarts, usually brag about the wrong stuff. We're so into not wanting to toot our own horn that we very often don't really make the most out of the really good work we've already done. So my coaching is, you don't have to be rude about it, but you definitely want to complete your tasks in such a way that when someone else, whether it's your boss or your spouse or your kids or a friend or just anybody, takes a look at what you've done, they can plainly see that it was a good bit of work, well done. Whatever your work is, whatever your projects are, there's a way for you to finish it up in such a way that anyone who knows about what you do will be able to look at that and say, that was a nice piece of work. It might be brilliant, might be just clean and simple, just clever, just nice, just done. A good job, well done. Some folks are into, like I said, going for the gold and really stretching. But that's not a requirement. When you get this really working, part of the goal is to make really strong strides in your life without having to really stretch yourself. If you stretch yourself on a regular basis, then you don't need to push yourself. You're well prepared. You have done your exercise, you've done your training, and so when you need that extra burst of speed, it's there for you. So that's another aspect of learning to tap into the cycles of the moon and the seasons of the sun, is after you've been finding your rhythm, you notice one of my clients I've been working, we're probably moving into year two that we've been working together, and for her, she's a teacher, and so setting up for the fall, the summer is usually a lean time, and then when students come back in the fall, that's when things finally break loose again. But it's still a challenge. And then she harkens back to her childhood when the winter was really rough. So that even though in the real world, the winter is when she's actually booking some of her best business, her memory is of harsh and difficult winters. So it was a struggle, but this fall, because we've done preparations, because we've set everything up, it was a stretch, but she made it through the summer. And actually, when you look at it, her savings account is a little better off than it used to be. And lots of other things that she never imagined would be on there all got done. And in fact, she got some letters out to her students. So now, just because of the way she worded the letters and when she got it sent, she's like 2-3 weeks ahead. Most of her core students are all scheduled for the fall. And now she can move on to what else, what specialty items can she put on the schedule? So that without having to do anything terribly difficult or different, she's already set up for a bountiful harvest. And now the question is, well, what can we add? What more can we do? Because it's not even the second week of September, and she's already done all the hard work, most of it at any rate. So now it's time, okay, well, what can we add to this? So when you continue this work over time, what happens is simple things, what is it? Difficult things become possible, and possible things become easy, something like that. I have a clever phrase that I can't remember right now. But the idea is when you do this well, you can do things that you never imagined you could, but things that used to be difficult become easy. And that's really what you want to get at, is just what you find is you can run a little farther, a little faster. If you've ever trained for a run or anything like that, you know, it takes you months and months to really get trained up. But by the time you're a month or two into your training, you're doing stuff that you thought was near impossible a month ago. Whether it's yoga or meditation or music, whatever you train for, remember back something in your life where you worked hard going to school. It's one of the most fun things I used to do when I was in college. So I would look at my textbooks at the beginning of the semester. I'd always go buy my textbooks early, as soon as I could. As soon as I knew what the books were, I would go and buy them, earliest possible moment. And I would look at these big, thick books, especially in college, these big, you know, 600-page chemistry book. And I would look at that book and say, right now, I don't know anything in here. This is all baffling. But by the end of the semester, I will understand or be familiar with almost all of it. And to me, that was just the most amazing thing. And it's true. And that's part of capitalizing your successes. In fact, that's a perfect segue. Now I know where that was going. Because even though I learned to do that in my early years in college, I ended up going to college for a long, long time. But by the end of it, I was at the graduate level in math and physics, and I was sitting there working on this problem, and it was probably the second or third time I'd actually had to take a pass at graduate electricity and magnetism. Pretty tough subject, and so I started the class and then dropped it a couple of times. So I was working on this homework problem, and I'd probably tried to do that exact same homework problem a couple of times before. And I finally got it done, and I was like, God, I'm just struggling, and I'm not really getting anywhere. And then I realized that after a year of trying, I was finally able to take and keep up with this graduate level physics class. And then I looked at all the other undergraduate and graduate level books that I'd already completed. And moments ago, I was thinking, I've made no progress. I'm not getting anywhere. And I realized I had 7-8 years worth of work. All the engineering work I did, all the math work I did, all the programming work I did. By then, it was probably as much as 15 years worth of work if I included all my, since I graduated high school, probably closer to 15 years worth of progress. But still felt like I wasn't doing anything until I stopped and looked back at where I really was and what I had really accomplished. And that is what the Harvest Moon is about. It's for you to slow down just enough to get a read of where you really are. What have you really gotten done so far this year? How much progress have you really made? And what is the low-hanging fruit that you can harvest right now in September? We did the ripe berries, the really low-hanging fruit, on the bushes last month. Now we're moving into the September harvest, and so it's the low-hanging fruit like apples that you might have to climb a little bit to get to, but they're there, and you don't have to dig them up. And then later we'll get into the harder-to-harvest things that you might have to dig up, or the pumpkins that don't get ready to harvest until the frost comes. So we'll be looking at what is it that you've gotten done, what is ready to harvest? What is the progress that you made that you haven't seen because you're too close to it? And then how do you capitalize that progress and the two stages of that as you noticing what you're ready to complete and completing it in such a way that others can see it too? And so that's the process, this assembling reality process of the harvest moon is about rearranging the reality that's already around you in such a way that you're being very successful. You have greater health and wealth in your life, even if you can't change the circumstances very much. So that's what we're going to do, is we're going to be assessing and reassembling the puzzle pieces more or less as they are, but discovering a way that they already add up to solid progress and accomplishments that both you and others can see. So that's kind of an introduction to the way I approach the fall harvest. So let me go ahead and put a pause in the tape, and then we'll switch to the journey for this evening.